Thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mining Stock Education, and I'm Bill Powers. We are going to be getting an update in today's episode from U.S. Gold Corp about the progress and upcoming drill program at the company's Keystone project in Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp trades on the NASDAQ under the ticker USAU, and the company's website is usgoldcorp.gold. Last year, if you're an avid listener, you'll remember that I interviewed Dave Mathewson, a very prolific Nevada gold geologist. He helped consolidate the Keystone property, and we spoke about it in that interview. And then about 2 months ago, I interviewed co-founder Luke Norman, and one of the things we talked about is this property and the prospective nature and the upcoming drill program. So if you want to do a little more background and history, you can go back and listen to those interviews. But today I'm joined by a new guest. His name is Ken Coleman, and Ken is the Keystone Project Geologist for U.S. Gold Corp. He possesses extensive experience in Nevada. Ken joined a U.S. Gold Corp from Barrick Gold, where he was a mine geologist at the Gold Strike Mine. Prior to Barrick, Ken was a consulting mine and project geologist for Battle Mountain Gold, Comstock Mining, and Victoria Gold. Ken brings deep exploration and geological experience to the U.S. Gold Corp team. He's been a member of the Geological Society of Nevada since 2005. With that being said, Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, I know from our chat here before we hit record that you are in Elko, Nevada, and your focus, as I mentioned, is on the Keystone property. Let's start with you giving us a little background on this property itself. What is the history of exploration on this Keystone property?
All right. Well, to begin with, in the late 1960s, Newmont was the first company really active in recent time at Keystone. There was some historic mining there before. At the historic Keystone mine, it was for silver, lead, zinc, and some skarn deposits. But 1960s, looking for gold, started with Newmont. They did some drilling kind of off the range front, nothing really in the mountain range. And then up into the 80s, things really started going. Placer, some various other little companies were involved, looking for shallow oxide gold, shallow holes, less than 200 feet, working on up into the 90s. Anyway, there were several other companies involved, and the land package was kind of fragmented. They were in there looking around, didn't find a whole lot, but we ended up with about 240 holes on the property at the end of the early 2000s when a company called Placer Dome, now Barrick, was in there, 2005, 2006. And they drilled only five holes. This is kind of an interesting thing. On the very northwest end of the property and on the south end, these five holes were, two of them were the only first two deep holes drilled on the property, but they didn't really test it. So that's kind of the overall.
And the district, it was not one consolidated district, and there was not one systematic approach to exploration like U.S. Gold Corp is doing right now.
That is correct. It was split between a lot of different operators, and so they, by necessity, can only work on their particular claim blocks. So U.S. Gold was able to do that and actually apply not only new models and new ideas, but apply it to an entire district. That's the scale of these magmatic-related Carlin-type systems. They're large. They're large district-scale systems. And so exploring them on a small claim block doesn't help you very well. So we can do that.
Dave Mathewson, as you know, referred to this project as the best pre-drilling project that he's seen in his career. You've been in Nevada for quite some time. What are some of the key features that really stand out with this project relative to your previous experience?
Two major ones that stood out when I first looked at this property with Dave, is the size of the structural systems that are present at Keystone. These structural systems are wide, they're through-going, and those are very important for bringing the fluids from deeper in the crust up into the upper parts of the crust. And then the variety of intrusives, which we've now obtained more information on through a master's of thesis, but those intrusives and the variety of compositions that you can see at the surface mapping. There was a long-lived magmatic event there that brings the heat and allows the circulation of the fluids in the rocks, and that's borne out by just the abundance of alteration of a lot of different varieties that you can see on the property. That's one of the more altered pieces of ground I've walked across.
And this is downtrend from Cortez Hill, too, about 10 miles, if I recall correctly.
It's actually about 16 miles from Cortez Hills to the heart of Keystone, and we're about 12 miles to the it'd be the northwest of Gold Bar. So we're right between two meaningful areas along the Battle Mountain Eureka Gold Belt. So.
Company's been on the project, has it been about 3 years?
Yeah, it's been 3 years. Really got started in 2016. Did some initial deep core drilling, which had never been done on the property since the 1960s. And that was important. That core drilling gave us some information of the rocks at depth, which there really wasn't any information, to compare it to other properties in the district, especially Cortez to the north. Then 2017 and 2018 started doing RC drilling to more spread out on the 20 square mile property package to kind of get points scattered all about and really, really get a subsurface understanding of the host rocks and any alteration present, which really helped site some of the holes. You don't just throw a hole out. There's a reason, but even with the scout drilling.
So last year you did the scout drilling. What was the significance of that, and what information did that provide that was crucial to outlining this year's drill program?
Well, last year's drilling was in two phases. So earlier in the summer, we drilled, eight holes, and we were really confined to the notice of intents that we had in place. We didn't have our plan of operations approved yet. And so we pretty much drilled some angle holes off of existing pads to get a better understanding of the orientation of structures that were encountered, carrying gold and pathfinder elements and things of that nature. Those were helpful in designing the phase two program when we finally received our plan of operations approval in late October. We drilled another six holes after that. And those were much more targeted, specifically in two areas that were priority, what we call Sophia, and another area we call Tip Top. And Sophia and Tip Top both have received historic drilling in the past, all of it shallow, less than 1,000 feet. There are indications, gold in rocks, pathfinder elements in rocks and soils, alteration all over the place. So, we did the deeper drilling, but right off our first hole for phase two was key 1809 RC in the Sophia target. And that hole, that's kind of one of my favorite holes so far that we've drilled. We lost that hole at 1605 in a 20-foot wide void. It's an open space, 20 feet wide at 1600 feet. Well, above that, we drilled about 350 feet of oxidized, brecciated Horse Canyon and Comus Formation rocks with anomalous gold, arsenic, antimony, mercury, thallium across the board, but all of these elements much higher than any of the previous drilling we've done, especially the thallium. The thallium is 380 ppm, which is a pretty significant number. Thallium is intimately associated with gold mineralization in these Carlin-type systems, including at Cortez Hills. It's one of the several elements that best correlates. So it was pretty exciting in that it's oxidized below a pretty thick sequence of Comus rocks that were altered to skarn. And we had a 20-foot intercept of, I think, 1.18 grams of gold-bearing skarn in that hole, in the Comus, something we hadn't encountered before. And that gives us some encouragement for another model we'll be pursuing with 2019 drilling. Looking for skarn.
With the information from the scout holes, do you feel like you're on the edge of a potential mineralization, or how did that help further determine this year's drilling, this hole that you just mentioned?
That's kind of the feeling I'm getting, is we're potentially near something important. Those levels of trace elements such as thallium, arsenic, and mercury with thick intervals of 100 to 200 ppb gold, that's a common thing. It's no guarantee, but it's a common thing when you're around and near. And as are these open spaces, voids, when you have a collapsed breccia form, it opens up a lot of space and from the dissolution stuff. So it appears that we're close to what could be the right thing. It has all of the right signatures. There are no guarantees. Of course, we have to put more holes in it. So.
With this year's drill program, when can we expect the rigs to start turning? And what more can you tell us about this year's program?
Right now, Keystone is just finally starting to dry out. We've been inundated with about 3 weeks straight of rain for the last 3 weeks, and it just dried out in the last couple of days. So, fortunately, Nevada dries out pretty quickly. But anyway, we're looking at least another month out before we could possibly begin drilling. And we're looking at a modest program, somewhere in the neighborhood of a similar thing that we did last year, 10 to 15 drill holes. Of course, we get onto something, and everything changes. So it's an iterative process. We drill hole to hole. Some of the targets we'll be drilling, we have multiple holes proposed, but we'll drill them one at a time, so we have time to analyze the data we get back and properly place these holes. It's 20 square miles. It's a big area. It's going to take an iterative direction to get to where we need to be.
Yeah, you really need focused drilling. I remember in my last interview with Luke Norman, he essentially said you can drill yourself out of business quite quickly on this big of a property unless you're really focused in your targeting.
That's correct, and that's really the drilling we're doing this year is all targeted. We've figured out several high-quality targets, including Sophia and Tip Top, but several of them have no previous historic drilling. All of the indications are there, good structure, good alteration, intrusives, everything we need to see at surface. Now we need the third dimension and put some holes and test it. So rarely do you ever come up with discovery on first hole tests and targets. It's usually an iterative process, and not just for us, for even the majors. So that's the history of big discoveries. It takes a lot of drill holes, persistence from management, from the geologists who are working on the projects, and the investors who put up the money.
So this would be reverse circulation drilling, and to what depth do you plan to drill these holes?
Yes, this will be all RC drilling, and we're planning 1,500 to 2,000 foot maximum drill holes. You start pushing beyond that, and you really need some pretty high grades to make things economic. But, 1,500 to 2,000 is reasonable. That's the plan idea. If we get into something, we'll come back with core, but we can drill three RC holes for the cost of one deep core hole. It's at this point in time, it makes the most sense. It's the best use of investor dollars. You want to get the maximum amount of information for the minimum amount of cost.
Best case scenario, when could these results come in? Are we looking at like September, October-ish?
If we start drilling mid-July, we would be looking at mid-September before we actually have results in hand and have time to analyze them and figure out what we're doing from there.
And then as you mentioned, if you hit some mineralization and you see something good, you could then still schedule a core drill program this year potentially?
If warranted, if warranted, and if we have the resources to do so, it's really a matter of that. The resources we have now to do RC is all we can do. So, if we come across something pretty good, we'll have to probably go to the market and get more people interested, which I absolutely hope happens. Mm-hmm. And get core, because core gives you a lot more information, orientations of the structures and breaches and things of that nature. So, and it verifies what you're looking at.
Ken, as we conclude here, what would be considered success when we're talking about what's going to be in the reverse circulation drill holes? Talk to me about grades or depths. What are some things that investors should look for as a result of this drill program?
What I would consider success is, well, a decent drill intercept, either of a meaningful thickness, 25, 50 meters of 1 to 2 grams, or more importantly, even 10, 20 meters of greater than 10 gram gold. That would be success in my mind, and I think investors would like that. We come across something 40, 50 meters of 1 to 2 grams. That's something that's pretty common on the halo of these large gold systems, and then it's a matter of vectoring into where the higher grade is.
And this project is early on, so conceptually, are we potentially looking at an open pit that then goes underground at the base of the pit? Is that potentially what you'd be conceptualizing at this point?
We're drilling deep, so we're looking at all avenues. It's really going to be dependent upon what we drill into. It's, the we're using geological models and concepts as opposed to how we might possibly mine this. That was how the property was attacked in the past, looking for shallow oxide open pit stuff. We're not constrained by that. We're looking for gold deposits, whether it can be mined at the surface or at depth. It'll depend on what we drill.
All right. Well, we got an update today from Ken Coleman, the project geologist at the Keystone Project for U.S. Gold Corp. Follow this company. It's one of our sponsors. You can go to the website to sign up for their email list. That website, again, is usgoldcorp.gold, and you'll be emailed the updates of when the drills start turning and when the results come in. And if you want to check the company out, from an investment standpoint, look to the NASDAQ market, and the ticker is USAU. Ken, I appreciate the update, and I look forward to chatting with you again after we get some results from this drill program.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for talking with me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.